Hello, this is Jim and Samantha. We pastor Abundant Life in Fort Worth, Texas, and this is a message from one of our services. We hope it inspires you, we hope it builds your faith, and we hope it helps you in your everyday life. Enjoy the message. Amen. Well, let's go in our Bible this morning to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 25 in just a second. But as Pastor Samantha said, we're about 48 or a few hours away from 2025. Everybody say, oh me. We're getting ready to cross over into a new year. And one thing is for sure that we know that we're excited about, and that is God has good plans for your life. Everybody say, God has good plans for my life. He wants to do great things in you, for you, and through you. All three of those things are important. He wants to do good things in you. He wants to do good things for you, and he wants to do good things through you. But in order for those things to occur, we have to be in the right position to receive and cooperate with the will of God. Okay? See, God has a plan and a purpose, but for his will to come to pass, it requires our cooperation. There are things that we need to do to get in position for what he wants to do in our life. And so his blessing, his favor, his provision, his guidance, and his power are accessible and available through our connection with him. As I stay connected, then I'm connected with the source of blessing. I'm connected with the source of favor. I'm connected with the source of guidance as I stay connected with him. And you know what? The Bible is full of people that focused on connecting with him, and it was their point of connection that brought great resources and blessing and favor and deliverance into their life. Let me say that again. It was their connection with him that brought his favor and blessing into their life. And it wasn't just, I wish this would happen. There were strategic things that they did to connect with him. In other words, sometimes they went outside of their comfort zone. Sometimes they had resistance or distractions that they had to overcome to connect with him. But the result was great power was released when they connected. Let's look first at this, the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. It says, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, thank God for hearing the good news. When she heard about Jesus, she said, that's good, but laid in her lazy boy and didn't do anything. That's not what she did, right? It says she heard about Jesus. She came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around her to see that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Now, when we look at this account of this woman, what do we learn about this woman? Well, first of all, we learned that she was a woman that was desperate to get to Jesus. She wasn't going to sit around. The Bible says she was intentional. She was strategic. She went to where he was and she pressed through the crowd. Another thing we learn about her is that once she heard that Jesus was a healer, once she heard, she evidently heard that people were touching the hem of his garment and were getting healed. And that's why she wanted to touch, because she said, you know what? If God did that for them, he'll do that for me. Right. And so she pressed through the crowd, but she didn't. Another thing we see about her is she didn't allow distractions or problems or resistance to stop her. There was a crowd in the way. She was not even supposed to be out in public because of her condition. So she could have been stoned. Things could have happened to her because of it, but she didn't care about that. She didn't care about what people thought about her. She didn't care about the crowd that she had to fight through, but she was desperate to get a connection with Jesus. and she believed in the goodness of God. She would, if she didn't believe and expect to receive, she would have never made her way through there. But the very fact that she did is evidence that she had faith that if I get to him, and she even said that if I can just touch him, I'll be made whole. Right? She was looking for that connection. And in her desperation and persistence, her faith caused her to connect by touching the hem of his garment. She connected and she experienced the power of God. And so that lets us know that great things happen when we connect with our Heavenly Father. Everybody say, great things happen when we connect with our Heavenly Father. Amen. We see this same thing over in Luke chapter 5. Let's go over there. Luke chapter 5. But in Luke chapter 5, we find another man, and this was a woman, but this time it was a man. And he connected with God, and great power was released in his life. Notice in Luke chapter 5 and verse 16, Luke 5 verse 16, it says, so he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed, talking about Jesus. Now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, this is a side note, but let me just stop right there. It's hard. When you're teaching God's word and it's so good, sometimes it's hard because you get distracted. With so many good points, right? But there's a couple of things. First of all, it says that Jesus was teaching. Notice the Hammond organ wasn't playing. There was no shouting going on. He was teaching. But while he was teaching, the Bible says that God's power was present. So that lets me know that anytime God's word is communicated, the power of God is present for people to receive the blessings of God. But it says, as he was teaching, there were certain Pharisees and teachers of the law who were there listening to him. The Pharisees and teachers of the law were the people that caused Jesus the most problems. That is interesting because the very next part of that verse says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. So even the people that caused problems for God, the power of God was there to heal them if they understood it, if they knew it, and they knew how to connect to it. Amen. So here's another side point. If God wanted to heal his enemies, how much more does he want to heal you? Amen. His power is present to heal. Amen. And then it says, then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down from his bed through the tiling in the midst before Jesus. Now, I don't know how long, in my mind, the decision to do this was not instantaneous. This would have took a minute, because the first thing I'm thinking about when I'm a paralyzed man is not somebody taking me up on a rooftop and tearing the roof off and letting me down through the middle of the roof. This had to take some, hey, how are we going to get him in there? I don't know. You think we can go up the side of the house? What? Yeah, I think we might could scoot you up there. Right? We got four of us. We each hold one in. I think we might can get you up there. Are you serious? Yeah, we might can. Do you want to get to Jesus? Yeah, I want to get to Jesus. We can't get in through the door, but they got him on up there, right? That would have been an interesting conversation to be around, right? And so they crawled up on the housetop. They let him down with his bed through the tiling in the midst before Jesus. This was not only a sight of him climbing up, but to let him down, you understand they had to take some of the roof apart. So Jesus is inside teaching. And you know, when you take some apart, usually there's some debris that's falling. So he's in there teaching. All of a sudden, the roof comes up, and then Jesus probably sees somebody here peek in and says, yeah, he's in there. Right. And then all of a sudden they're letting him down to get in before Jesus. I mean, this was a spectacle, right? And so you keep reading. They let him into down in the midst before Jesus. Now when we know all that background, verse 20 makes sense. When he saw their faith, it was faith that refused to be denied because they ran into an obstacle at the door. It was faith that caused them to climb up on the roof and take the roof apart. It was faith that caused them to lower their friend down in the midst so that he could connect with Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to him, man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God alone?" But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today," right? Well, what do we learn about this man? Some of the same things we learned about the woman with the issue of blood. First of all, he was desperate to get to Jesus. He didn't allow the fact that they couldn't get in the door to stop them. He was desperate. In other words, he didn't allow obstacles, distractions, disappointments, or difficulties to keep him from connecting with God. He believed in the goodness of God and expected to receive, just like the woman with the issue of blood. His desperation, persistence, and faith caused him to connect, and he experienced the power of God. Both of these people got in position to connect with God, and as a result of it, they experienced the power of God. And great things happen when we connect with our Heavenly Father. And that is our goal for this year, is to help you to connect with God on a deeper level than you ever have before. This is for all of us. We want to connect with God on a deeper level than we ever have before, because what we see throughout the scriptures is that when we connect with God on a deeper level, then we experience things we've never experienced before. God uses us in ways he's never used us before. He does things in us that he's never done before. He does things for us he's never done before. And he does things through us that he's never done before. And that's our goal, is to help us to connect in that way. And there's things that we can focus on to keep that, to enhance our connection, to grow our connection with God, and to strengthen our connection with God. And the Apostle Paul understood this because he was determined to stay connected and to stay growing. One of my favorite scriptures is Philippians 3 and verse 10. I'm going to read it to you from the Amplified. Paul said this, and you see, Paul's a man that God did great things in. I mean, he transformed his life from being a persecutor of the church to being the premier preacher of that era, right? Paul did supernatural things. I mean, God empowered him to raise the dead. God empowered him to heal the sick. God empowered him. I mean, he did started churches and discipled people and did many powerful things. But I believe one of the reasons that God was able to use him to that level is because he was committed to stay connected with his Heavenly Father. Notice what he said in Philippians 3 and verse 10. This is Amplified. Paul said, "For my determined purpose is that I might know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which exerts itself over believers." Now, that's the Amplified for you, right? But notice what he said. He said, my determined purpose is that I might know him, that every day I might progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted, or we could say connected to him, perceiving and recognizing the wonders of his person more clearly, more deeply, and that I could experience that resurrection power that not only affects my life, but God can use to impact other people's lives as well. Amen. And you see his desire to have that connection, to develop that connection. And we're absolutely convinced that God wants to do things in us, for us, and through us, but it requires us to have that same determined purpose as Paul, to stay focused on connecting with God every day. Amen. And there's different ways that we can do that, but we want to emphasize four. And one of those is by prayer. One of those is by fasting. One of those is by reading the word, right? And applying the word to our life. Anytime we talk about reading the word, we're not just talking about reading it, but when we read it, we do what it says, right? So prayer, fasting, reading the word, and then being actively involved in church. Those are four ways that we can strategically maintain our connection and grow our connection with him. Now, when we look at this account with the woman with the issue of blood and the man that was let down through the roof, you can see the same thing. Number one, she had something that she needed from God, but she decided to do something different. In other words, she changed her approach to getting to Jesus. Same thing with the man. He was going to come in through the door, couldn't get in through the door, so he had to change his approach, right? And sometimes what we discover is that we must be willing sometimes to change our approach so that we can connect with God on a deeper level. Sometimes there's little adjustments, little shifts we need to make here or there so that we can connect at a deeper level. And so we must be willing to do that. So I want to talk about fasting first. And let's go to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16. We'll read that in just a second. Matthew 6 and verse 16. And there's general principles we can learn about fasting from God's word. But in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16, it says, "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." Okay? So when we talk about fasting, we'll make some points about that in just a second. But first of all, what is fasting? I think many of us have an understanding of it. But to me, the simplest definition of fasting really is giving up something that's important and valuable to you so that you can focus on drawing closer to God. Okay? Giving up something that's valuable or important to you so that you can draw closer to God. People instinctively think of food, and food can apply, but there can be other things that we'll talk about too. But notice it says something that's valuable or significant to you, right? So in other words, if a person says, "Well, you know, I'm going to fast Brussels sprouts and collard greens," that might not necessarily be valuable or significant to you. Right? But if you said coffee, that might be valuable and significant to you, or Coke or whatever it might be. There's things that are, what is it that's valuable and significant to you, right? And so there are different types of fasting mentioned in the Bible, and there are different time frames that people did it. There's different ways that people chose to do it. And there's, you know, people chose even, you know, a fast from food, and people had even things, specific types of foods that people did. But I believe there are other things that can take our attention that honestly could be more impactful for you in drawing closer to God. It just depends on you, right? And there's things that we can focus on that we can fast for a season so that we can focus. See, the purpose of the fasting is so I can focus. See, if I fast without focus, if I fast food without focusing on drawing closer to God, I'm not fasting, I'm dieting. Just because I'm staying away from the food, what am I doing with that time that now I'm not eating that or not doing that? But it has to be something else that I'm drawing closer to God with. And so there's things that I believe can take our attention and focus, but what do we need to give time? What do we need to give up time doing so that we can focus more on our Heavenly Father? And, you know, for some of us, it could be TV. Everybody just keep looking straight and want nobody to know the Holy Ghost is talking about you or me. Praise the Lord, right? TV, it could be TV. You know, with streaming services now, it's easy to watch a show and then let's watch another one. Let's watch another one. Let's watch another one. And then you don't even have to do anything. It just says, it will restart in 5 seconds. So it just keeps you going. But you know you've been watching it too long if it pops up and says, "Are you still watching?" All right. All right. Well, movies, right? Movies or something like that. And none of these things that we're talking about are necessarily bad, but sometimes we say, "Well, you know, I don't have time to spend with the Lord," but yet we invest time in these other things. Or if we want to draw closer, we want to go to another level, we want to go deeper, what is it that I need to change in my life, in my structure of time that I can spend more time with Him? For some of us, it's sports. Somebody said you had to go there, right? I mean, I like sports myself, so I'm not saying anything about anything, but I'm just saying what we can spend, you know, 5 hours one day watching sports and no time with God that day. Okay, you follow what I'm saying? Not God is not opposed to us watching a movie. He's not opposed to us watching a sporting event, right? But I'm talking about what is the things for us. And if I hadn't hit you yet, I'm going to hit you with this one. Social media, baby. Just like people can sit there and just click the next TV show, you can just do like this. You just scrolling and you just scroll 2 hours away. Whew, sure is quiet in here today. Praise the Lord. But again, not necessarily anything bad with those things. But if I want to draw closer, what is it the thing that I need to give up for a season so that I can focus closer on drawing closer to Him? If we want to go to another level, then those are things we need to think about. And then now, returning to our text, we learn that fasting alone is not the issue, because he contrasts fasting to be seen versus fasting for the Lord. So fasting alone is not the issue, because you can fast so you can look spiritual. So in other words, it's a religious activity instead of something that's really a way that I can connect with God on a deeper level. Okay. So he says, when you fast, don't say nothing about it. Don't act, look like you hadn't had anything to eat. You don't know, make yourself look bad. He said, wash your face, brush your teeth, you know, do the things that you need to do so you don't appear to be fasting. But the Father, notice what the Father, whom you're fasting to in private, will reward you openly. Right. So there's blessings connected to these things, but they have to be done for the right reason and for the right purpose. And that is to connect with Him. Everybody say, connect with Him. Now, that's fasting. And so fasting can open up the door for some of these other things. And that's why we started with it first, because if I'm not spending time doing these other things, then I have more time for prayer. I have more time for His word. I have more time to read a book I want to, that's going to help me connect with Him at a greater level. So let's talk about prayer. Let's look at this same passage over in Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Let's look at Mark 6, verses 5 through 8. It says, or actually verse, we'll stop at a certain point. But notice verse 5. It says, and when you pray, you shall not pray like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in the secret will reward you openly. Amen. And so we can see that Jesus talked about the value of fasting and connecting with Him. He talked about the value of prayer in connecting with our Heavenly Father. And just like fasting, prayer alone is not the issue, because he just identified the fact that some people can pray to be seen. Some people can pray to seem religious. Some people can, you know, do those things. But he says, when we pray, we're to pray to connect with our Heavenly Father. And when we do it for that purpose, then he rewards us and blesses us. And prayer to connect with God, our prayer time should be to connect with God and develop our relationship with Him. And that type of prayer, he says, will cause reward. So it'll cause blessing and favor and promotion and blessing and opportunities, and all these things come to us when we do that. Now, prayer sometimes can seem mystical sometimes, but my favorite definition of prayer is fellowshipping with God. Prayer is just fellowshipping with God. There's many other things we could talk about that encompasses the subject of prayer, but really prayer is just fellowshipping with your Heavenly Father. And sometimes we need things in life, and the Bible tells us to ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find. God wants to answer our prayers. But what we have to understand sometimes is that just as much as we need things and we can pray for those things, sometimes prayer shouldn't be about God, getting God to do our will, but prayer is about preparing us to do His will, right? Preparing my heart to hear from heaven, preparing my heart so I know what He wants me to do. I know the direction that He wants me to take. So many times prayer is a way that we can hear from heaven that way. And prayer is a key that unlocks the gates of heaven. I love this. Prayer is a key that unlocks the gates of heaven for His blessings, but it also exposes the gates of hell. So prayer can give me insight in the situations and people that I'm dealing with. I have access to heavenly resources and supernatural insight so that I know what's going on behind the scenes in the spiritual realm, and I can pray and take authority over situations, right? And so prayer can help us do those things. And so prayer has a power. You look at throughout the Bible, you see prayer healed diseases, it stopped storms, it delivered the oppressed, it brought divine provision. And so that means that two things need to happen when I go through a problem. Anybody ever been through a problem? Well, what should be our instantaneous response when I'm going through the problem? What does the Bible say? And then pray. The Bible says, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. So that means if I got a financial need, I need to pray. If I got a problem in my marriage, I need to pray. If I got a problem in my body, I need to pray, right? But find out what God's word says, because God's word is the foundation, the sure foundation of an effective prayer life. Now let's look at 1 John 5 verses 14 and 15. God answers prayer, right? God wants to bless us. I remember Brother Hagin's book. He has a book called The Art of Prayer, but in it, he begins by talking about, he quotes, I believe it was John Wesley, who said, God is restricted by our prayer life. He can do nothing for humanity unless someone asks him, right? He said, God is restricted by our prayer life. He can do nothing for humanity unless someone asks him. So that's why he tells us, ask. He wants to help. He wants to bless, but we have to pray. Notice what it says in 1 John 5:14. It says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask, everybody say ask. Notice this didn't say think or have need of. He says ask, which is prayer. Anything, notice this, if we ask anything according to his will. If you have a pen, underline in your Bible, because that is a critical part of that verse. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we ask of him. So in other words, we can have confidence in God, confidence that he hears and answers our prayer. According to this passage, he said, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will. So if I come to God and I ask according to his will, the Bible says I can have confidence that he heard me. I never have to question in my life ever again. If I come based on knowing what the will of God is, then I can know the moment that that prayer left my lips, my Heavenly Father heard what I said. This is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And then he says this, and if we know that he hears us, then we know we have the petitions we desired of him. In other words, if God heard it, God will answer it. Amen. But it's all contingent upon that phrase I had you underline. He says, this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will. Okay? So that's the determining factor. How do I pray his will? Well, the good news is it is easy to know his will, because most of you are holding it in your hand right now. His word is his will. If you read it in his word, it's his will. The word of God is God's revealed will for our life. So if you want to know what his will is, you have to get into his word. If you know his word, you know what his will is, right? Pastor Samantha and I grew up in a church, and so they would pray, and every time they would ask a deacon to pray at the end of the service, and they would say things like, well, Father, heal so-and-so and heal so-and-so and heal so-and-so. And they would always end the prayer like this, if it be your will, okay? Meaning that we don't know if it's God's will or not. Well, when you pray a prayer like that, you're not exercising faith that God is hearing and answering those prayers, because you're saying we don't know what God's will is. So we're not really praying according to his will. Okay. But if I read in the Bible that Jesus took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses, and by his stripes I'm healed. And then I read, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith to save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. If I read in the Bible, you know, all the things that he said about healing, then all of a sudden I know his will. So then when I pray for healing for somebody, I don't pray if it's his will, because he told me what his will was in the word of God. And because I know what his will is, I know when I prayed that he heard me. And if I know when he prayed, when he heard me, I know he answered that prayer. That's how you can pray in faith. Amen. Amen. And so we can focus on the word of God. And so the third thing, focus on fasting. Everybody say focus on fasting. Focus on prayer. And then focus on reading and learning the word. Amen. You know what? The greatest thing in my life that's transformed me is the word of God. I mean, getting his word inside of me, it renewed my mind. It healed me. It delivered me. It brought guidance in my life. It brought direction. It equipped me. It protects me. And in the word of God, we find out what God's will is, because sometimes we're like, what is God's will for my life? Well, his word tells us what his will is, right? We find out things about it. And so just like connecting through fasting and prayer, reading and practicing the word brings blessings, favor, success, and prosperity into your life. So we looked at the fact that Jesus said, when you fast, I'm going to reward you openly when you do it with the right heart to connect with me. When you pray, you do it with the right heart, I'm going to reward you and I'm going to bless you. God says the exact same thing when we spend time in his word. Notice what the Bible says. Let's go to Psalms 1. Psalms 1. Psalms 1 says, blessed. Everybody say blessed. Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. That sounds like consistency to me. Amen. His delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law, he meditates day and night. Notice what happens. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in his season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Now, this is significant, but what he's saying is that if you meditate in the word and it's your delight and you're spending time in the word, then you're going to be a person that's planted by a river. So in other words, it doesn't matter what's going on around you because you got access to resources because you're right by the river. So God is saying, look, when you spend time in my word, you don't have to worry about what's going on in the world because you've got me as an access to resources in your life. And he says, you're going to prosper. You're going to have success. Notice what he says. His leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall what? Prosper. Now, another one is over in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Some of you may know this one. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. We're talking about reading and meditating on the word. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do. Everybody say do. It's one thing to know. It's another thing to do, right? That you may observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then, when's the then? When you're a doer, right? For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. God wants us to prosper. God wants us to have good success, but it comes when we practice, meditate, and do what the word of God says. So if all that's not, I mean, if you know, that's enough right there, right? But God contains his will. God's word is his will. So I find out his will is spiritual food to feed me. And then the last thing I want you to focus on is church. Amen. Everybody say, I made that one today. Praise the Lord. I made that one today. Church is a God-ordained place for you to be equipped for life and ministry and to use your gifts to serve one another. Let me say that again. Church is the God-ordained place for you to be equipped for life and ministry or service and to use your gifts to serve one another. The Bible says serve one another. There's no better place we can do that than in the house of God with other believers, right? But it's a God-ordained place for you to be equipped for life and ministry and to use your gifts to serve one another. And God's presence and power manifests in a special way when we gather together. You know, Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20. Let's go there right quick. Matthew 18, verse 20. Matthew 18, verse 20. Jesus said this, and he's emphasizing how important and how powerful it is when we come together. In Matthew 18, verse 20, it says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. When we come together, God wanted us to know he's here. The moment we walk through these doors, the moment that we gather together, right? No matter where that is, he is there in our midst. And you know, it's powerful because I can pray and worship at any time. I mean, I can pray and worship when I'm driving. My wife says, make sure you drive right while you pray. Keep you right. But you can pray and worship while you're driving. You can pray while you're doing yard work. You can pray and worship while you're cleaning the house. You can do those things. However, when we gather and to pray and see God as believers, he shows up in a special way. He shows up in a powerful way. And Jesus taught us that church attendance is vital for every believer. He said it like this in Matthew 9:36. But he said, essentially, sheep suffer when they don't have a shepherd. Sheep suffer when they don't have a shepherd or a pastor. He said, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. They were confused and helpless like sheep having no shepherd. That means Jesus is teaching us that every sheep needs a shepherd. Amen. I like what Rick Warren said. He says, a Christian without a church home is like an organ without a body. It's like a sheep without a flock. It's like a child without a family. It is an unnatural state. So you were created and fashioned for fellowship in God's house. Amen. Now, as I kind of finish up this morning, the thing that's powerful about our church family is that we talk about church family and that's what we are. But the moment that a person accepts Christ, God is their heavenly father. So if his father, my father, is the same father, that makes me and him brothers. If her father, my father, is the same, that makes me us sisters, right? So we're brothers and sisters in the family of God. And the powerful thing about a church family is because we're serving the same God, because we're heading in the same direction, because we have the same values, because we have the same purpose. Many times our relationship with our spiritual family is better and deeper than our natural family. In other words, I have more things in common with the people in this room than I have with the people that I eat Thanksgiving and Christmas with. Right? Because we're heading in a different direction where our goals, our priorities are different. Our focus is different. The things we want to accomplish are different. Our values are different. Our principles are different. What brings us joy is different. You know, one of the things that I get joy reading the word. You know, when I have time, I know this is my time to read the word. I get excited about that. Right? But there's a lot of people in my family, they're like, what? They would not get excited about reading the word, right? They don't get excited about coming to church, but that's different. But my brother does. You see what I'm saying? Because we're connected, right? And Jesus made this really plain because one time he was preaching out, and all of a sudden his mothers and brothers, there was a whole crowd of people while he was preaching, and his mother and brothers could not get in. They tried to get in. They couldn't get in. So somebody came in and said, hey, Jesus, your mother and brothers are out there and they want to see you. And Jesus says something really powerful. He says, whoever does the will of my father, and I can see him doing it, he or she is my brother and my sister. So in other words, he was acknowledging the fact that people that are heading in the same direction have a connection. Many times it can go deeper. Now, if you have a connection and it's good with your biological family, that's great. But what I'm saying to you is sometimes God can make up for biological family that might not be as good because he puts a brother or sister in our life that we can have a deeper connection with. Amen. And so that's what Jesus was saying. Whoever does the will of my God, does the will of God is my brother and sister. Amen. Now, there's a powerful illustration that I want to share with you. I did a little research and I found out that the strongest horse in the world is called a Belgian draft horse. Okay. These horses are, you see in those Clydesdales where they're big as that or bigger. Okay. So they're a Belgian draft horse. This one adult horse can pull 8,000 pounds. Think about this. This one horse can pull 8,000 pounds. But they've done some studies with these horses because they're the most powerful ones. And so they had one horse, the limit that he could pull was 8,000 pounds. Well, how many of you know that's a few thousand pounds more than me? Right? Well, they put two of these horses together. Now, when they put these two horses together, mathematics would indicate that they could pull 16,000 pounds. But they tested them and they pulled 22,000 pounds because they were stronger together. Then they took one that they had, that was just two random horses that didn't know each other that they put together. But then they had some that ate together, fed together, knew each other, fellowshiped together, in the same stall together, in the same building together, right? They put them together and they could do about a third more than the 22,000 because they were stronger together because they were connected. And that's exactly what a church family does. In other words, in 2025, we'll be able to pull more because we're yoked up with some good people that empower us to be more than we could be individually. Amen. And that's why we want to see all of us connect with God at a deeper level than we have before, because there's some things he wants to do in and for and through us that are amazing. Amen. Thanks for joining us. We encourage you to share this message with your family and friends. Please check us out on our website at abundantchurch.org. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.